Kia ora and welcome to Sobriety Chat. I am your host, Lotta Dan, otherwise known as Mrs. D. I am the community manager and content creator here at Living Sober. And today I am joined by Hayley Holt, who is sitting a little bit in shadow. We've been trying to work out the lighting, but we can see her there. Hayley, if you don't know, is a TV host. She's a former competitive snowboarder, a former professional ballroom dancer. She is a partner. She is a mother to be, and she is sober. Welcome, Hayley.
Thank you so much, Lotta. What an introduction. all those things.
And yes, I know.
Probably the most proud of being sober.
Oh, amazing. I know. Mm. I know how you feel. Okay, so for people who don't know, I mean, you have spoken out about your recovery, which is so great and really grateful for you for doing that, because the more people we have recovering out loud, the better. But for people who don't know, can you tell us a little bit about your story? Like, what led you into recovery? Tell us your drinking story, Hayley.
Yeah, my drinking story. I guess I started pretty early. I started kind of in the ballroom dancing community, I suppose. There was always we had competitions every weekend, and every weekend there was a party after the competition. And I had lots of friends who were, my peers in dancing were a lot older. So I was sort of safely left in their care to go into town and party the night away when I was probably a bit too young, really.
What age were you?
About 14.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I was really quick to take it up because I was quite a shy, actually quite introverted little girl. And so drinking was amazing at first. It just gave me confidence. It gave me what I thought was this cool personality, and it made me just want to talk all night and dance all night and have all of this fun that I thought was what was cool. I was kind of embarrassed about being like a geeky introverted person. I wanted to be someone else. And so drinking gave me that. And so at first it was amazing. Loved it. And I loved it for a long, long time, like 20 years. And I had some great experiences, to be honest. Like there were things that I
we have to
done.
Be honest about that.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good times.
So many good times, and all of these like amazing people you meet. But oh my god, when I gave up drinking, I'd meet all these people, and they'd be like, "Hey, Hayley," and I'm like, "Who are you?"
Oh,
because I'm like, I don't, you know, drinking acquaintances or people you meet when you're at a club or something, and I just I'd get blackouts quite quickly. That was quite a shock. But yeah, I mean,
when did it turn troublesome? Like, how soon after you started? Like, was it fine through your teens and into your 20s and then the wheels started falling off, or was it a bit tricky the whole way that alcohol reacted with you from the get-go?
It was a bit tricky from the get-go, but I was in environments where that was okay, especially when you're a teenager. And I was hanging out with skateboarders. And then when I was snowboarding in my 20s, it was kind of cool to be outrageous. And, you know, the loudest, drunkest one at the party was always the one spoken of in reverence almost.
Yeah.
And whoever did, you know, the stupidest things was kind of a hero. So it was only when I came back to live in Auckland and started trying to bring that drinking culture into my girlfriend's lives and to Auckland life, that it was really noticeable that I stuck out like a sore thumb. But I didn't care. I almost was proud of it in a way. I think I was just still like I wanted to be the social person, but I couldn't do it without drinking. And I couldn't do it, and I couldn't drink without getting really, really drunk. So I was proud of it. I was kind of like, yay, I'm a functioning alcoholic. I've got this career and I can still do things and I'm getting up in the morning, I'm going to work. Don't always know where my car is, but I'm getting there.
So there were signs that things weren't right, that you were sticking out, that you were misplacing your car, that you were having blackouts, but yet you were still really clinging to this idea that this is cool, I'm cool.
Yeah, it was kind of like a fuck you attitude, you know.
Where does that come from? Is that just the society, you know, that because I can relate so much, and it's like we're smart, right? We're not dumb, but yet we couldn't marry the problematic stuff with the fact that it might not be right to be in this mode. We just sort of problematic, but still it's cool. Like those two things. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's because when you try and socialize, I don't know if our heads are different or whatever, but when you try and socialize without it, it's hard. It's not interesting, possibly. And yeah, I mean, I get my fascination from like sort of weird and wonderful things now and really simple things. And I don't think I could. I mean, I find it really, really hard to go out and amongst people who are drinking and having fun because it's not fun, actually. I don't know why. But I mean, maybe there's also some resentment that you take with you from your childhood, maybe from dancing. I mean, I'm sure there's like a whole cluster of reasons for why you drink. But I mean, I'd go into clubs at the start of the night and I was with friends or people who I hadn't hung out with much and I'd know the bouncers and they'd think I was because I was cool or well known, but it's actually because the bouncers all knew me, they had eyes on me, and so basically it was like they'd sort of notice when it was time for me to go home and just give me like the eye and I'd be like, all right, cool, I'm out, fuck you, I'm gone. So it wasn't because I was well known or cool in any way. It was just because
that was their job. Yeah. To watch out for the drunk people who might need help.
Yeah.
So why did you quit? Like where did you sorry, say again.
So I was really good at falling off things. Sometimes from great heights, falling off decks, falling off little cliffs. Just sometimes jumping over things that I couldn't quite make, falling over like the islands in the middle of Ponsonby Road. Just, I was a mess.
So it's such a disconnect between that boozy Hayley and the you of now who's takes things gently, and you say you find beauty in the little things, and there's a gulf in between those two versions of you.
Yeah, but I think it's because this is my version, this is me.
Yeah,
but I wanted to be someone else, you know. When I was young, the people I looked up to were those really sort of confident, outgoing, social, fun people. My brother was like that too. He didn't really need, I mean, he drinks too, but he didn't need it to be the life of the party. Mm. Well, I really did, but I couldn't stay in that really fun. But there was always that golden moment. I'm sure you know that one when you are confident and you're chatting and you're hilarious and people think you're great. And then, that quickly passes. My friends and my mum would say they could see it in my eyes. It only took about two wines and my eyes would change and I'd become like this other person.
So if alcohol was such a key part of you feeling comfortable, certainly socially, how terrifying was it to consider removing it from your life, Hayley?
Yeah, terrifying is exactly the right word for it. Almost, I never thought possible. I never thought it was an option. And it was like the end of the world, really. It was kind of like the end of my life as I knew it, the end of fun, the end of friends. And then you're like looking like when you sort of decide to give up forever. You're looking down the rest of your life without that crutch. And it's so daunting. It's terrifying. Absolutely.
I know. I often say it's like standing on the edge of a black cliff of looking into this abyss of like you say, no fun, being a boring loser that no one's going to want to hang out with, and then fucking jumping into that abyss.
Yeah. Or kind of like, I sort of tentatively sort of put my feet and my toes in first. And I liked to play games with my brain. So I gave up for 2 months first, but it was only for 2 months.
Right.
And so I kind of like tricked myself into it a little bit. During those 2 months, I was lucky enough to have one of my best friends who had gone into AA. And she gave me some stuff to read. The literature, as they call it. And so during those 2 months, I was reading this stuff and just it was all starting to sink in. And I was starting to recognize myself in the stories. And when the 2 months was up, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And that's when I decided to go to a meeting. But I had to trick myself into doing it. And I was doing it for someone else too. It was like helping.
I've heard that so many times. I was just supporting my friend.
Yeah, I was supporting somebody else who wanted to take a couple of months off for their health.
So how was the process then of settling into your new sober skin? Because it takes time, right? And like I've said to you, I think before we started recording, a lot of our members are in those early stages and it's just, it's hard. So how was it for you? Because you'd been this kind of crazy party girl, yeah, falling over things, yeah, you know, just like, well, how have you, I don't know the cool hand signals, but how did you go from that to this different person, and what was that process like, that transition?
It was really hard. I mean, during the recovery, which I guess we can talk about as well, I was so lucky to have my friend who had gone into AA first and her partner, and we actually ended up living together, and so we could sort of deal with recovery together.
Amazing.
And I think the tip would definitely be to get friends who are doing it too, and you can get friends in AA or whatever club you go to.
This club, Living Sober.
Yeah, or this club. You got to get friends because it becomes quite an adventure in itself. So our Friday nights weren't, you know, the drinking. It was like going to a meeting and then talking about it afterwards. And I hate to say it, smoking ciggies and just like, yeah, you know, discussing like we were.
You need something.
You do. Ciggies, fizzy drink, chocolate, lollies, all of the stuff. And I gave up exercise and I let everything else fall by the wayside. The most important thing was just not drinking. So everything else I was like, give myself what I want. And I think that's a good tip. But going out into bars, I remember the first time, I think I was at Golden Dawn, and I felt like this. And I was in everyone's way. I didn't know where to put my hands, and people were talking to me, and I just was like, oh my God, they're talking to me. What do I say? Oh my God. It was terrible, terrible. And I just felt like a dick. But I felt like everyone could see that as well, you know, that everyone could see and that were like looking at me going, oh my God, look at that dick. What is she doing? Yeah. It's so weird. And I guess the trick was really just to leave when you feel like that. You go out, test the waters, and then get out and go back into your comfort zone. Yeah.
Do you still go out to those sorts of places, bars and clubs and stuff?
I can now, but I have to be with friends, like good friends, and I have to be eating. But it's just not a place that I have ever felt comfortable in, I guess. You come to know that. It's just that I tried to force myself to be comfortable in there.
Yeah, if I had a dollar for the number of times I've heard people say that they get sober and discover that they're actually naturally introverted and get actually most of their energy from small groups or quiet time or alone time, you know, I'd be a very rich woman.
I know.
We live in a world that really favours being extroverted, and especially, I mean, you were in competitive ballroom circles. It's all glitz and glamour and outward, you know, showing. And I can imagine as a 14, 15-year-old not being confident and not being sort of gregarious, you know, socially, feeling a great discomfort there. And then surround yourself with the people you look up to who are all boozing. I mean, why wouldn't you pick it up? You were actually doing what was natural at the time.
Yeah, pretty much. And I didn't... Dancing was cool because I always needed, and I guess this is probably an introverted thing, I needed something to be doing. So dancing I was doing. Afterwards, you're not really doing much, you're socializing, so I was drinking. Snowboarding, you're doing, you're going on an adventure, you're traveling. I mean, there's lots of drinking involved with snowboarding, but because a lot of the time was taken up with adventure, it was kind of a little safety valve there. Traveling and seeing new things, all of that is fascinating and great. It's sitting around in the same club with people you're not actually interested in. Why do you do it to yourself, honestly? Like, I love small groups. And I love having conversations about their feelings or making, not making people uncomfortable, but, you know, going right down to what drives people's behavior or their inner feelings, their fears, rather than, you know, how's work today and what are you going to be doing for the weekend? You know, like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, it's my favorite thing. When I was boozing, I used to be very scornful of people, what I called navel gazing. Oh, navel gazer. You don't want to be a navel gazer, you know. God, come on, let's just have fun. La, 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 la. You know, glug, glug, glug. And navel gazing is now my favorite hobby.
So good.
Give me real conversations any day. Like, I can still do surface stuff, though. I am fortunate in that. And I, you know, that's why I think the conversations about introversion, extroversion are useful for people because, working out who you are and where you sit most comfortably is important. I actually can feel quite comfortable in social situations if it's the right environment for me and I'm with people I like and I'm in a good mood and I feel okay in my clothes and my shoes fit. You know, if everything comes together, I can have a great time. But, yeah, there's times where you go out and socialise and you're just like, this ain't my gang. I don't want to be here. And it's not because I'm not drinking. It's just not my gang and I don't want to be here. So it's removing the alcohol from having the power.
I think once you're in alcohol, if you're in a place where it's not your gang, you don't really want to be there, add alcohol in and the resentment just comes flying out.
Yeah.
You know, you just become, like, I think I would be a pain in the ass on purpose.
Right.
Just to shake things up, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And so how long have you been sober for now, Hayley?
I was thinking about this, and I think it's coming up 8 years.
And eight amazing. Years. Congratulations. Yeah. How? And
not drinking. I don't drink. And, you know, I did try other things. None of it worked as well. But
so what have you... You know, you've done this work of sort of settling into the authentic you, I suppose. What do you do to look after yourself now? Because, you know, feeling every emotion every day in the raw can be hard sometimes, as we know. And what do you do now to look after yourself when things are feeling gritty or sad or, you know, whatever uncomfortable emotion is rising up?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I haven't quite got it perfect yet. I mean, I do counselling every 2 weeks to help with that. But I just sit inside. If I want to be inside, I don't feel bad. I try not to feel bad about it. And I'll do what I need to do to make myself feel comfortable in that situation. And sometimes it is all of that really boring stuff, like writing your feelings down, trying to sit in the feelings and, like, let them wash over. And and be that observer of the feelings and all of that sort of, you know.
It's so cliched, but it's true.
I know, it's so true. exercise always makes you feel better, but I've been terrible at that lately. Obviously, I'm a bit heavier and lazier. Yeah, I know. I've moved up to Warkworth. So I've got a really quiet life now. And so I feel very safe in that. And then sometimes I get this amazing burst of energy and I want to go out and socialize. And then that's amazing. So
great. So then you do it. Feels right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, it's just being able to sit in the feelings and not running away from them, understanding that they'll pass.
Yeah. It's so easier said than done though, isn't it, sometimes?
But yeah. And sometimes you feel terrible and you do. And as soon as you have, sometimes it can last days when you're just not feeling good or your confidence is down, and then it sort of seeps out into everything. And then it seeps out into your thinking about yourself and other people. And I'll start sort of catching myself being negative about myself and other people. And I'll realize that something's happening. So I'll try and figure out what I'm sad about. What's actually making me feel like this? Because I don't actually feel that way about people or myself.
Oh, you see, and how can you do that kind of subtle yet fucking powerful work if there's booze in your brain? You cannot.
It's all running away. As soon as those feelings came, so every month when I was getting my period and other times when I had any of those feelings, it would be grab a six-pack on the way home from work, start drinking. I was working out at Mount Wellington for a lot of it. And so I could pop into Ellerslie, grab a six-pack, pop the first one on the way home, finish it at home, then get the wine. It's just clouding. I mean, and alcohol does shut the frontal lobe down, right? Very well. And I think there's something good in that.
What we want. That's why we do it.
Yeah. And I think as a overthinker, that it was really relaxing.
But it's just, it doesn't work long term.
And actually, when you're out and people are boozed around you, you can see all their frontal lobes have gone.
Oh, yeah. So boring and so smelly.
I know.
Right? Oh, my God. Every now and then my husband gets in bed. He doesn't drink a lot, but every now and then, and I'm just like, dude, ugh. I just wanted to go back to, and it's really great that you mentioned going to counselling. I'm not going to ask you about that, but I just wanted to say, because, you know, for a lot of people, taking away the alcohol isn't the only thing, and often stuff can come up, and we always say there's so many great people out in our communities who want to help, you know, reaching out for that extra support. Yes, recovery, connecting with people in recovery, working on yourself, but if need be, if there's something else, you know, no shame, no stigma, and there's free stuff if you can't afford it, but finding someone who's trained who can actually maybe help you just, you know, get out some of those gnarlier knots that need working.
Yeah, and the trained person's important too, because they know how to get there without pushing you away or shutting you down. You know, it's like quite an amazing process, but so important. I mean, I tried going to counseling before I gave up because I was trying to work out other ways of sorting myself out rather than give up drinking.
Yeah, anything but please.
Yeah, but giving up drinking's the start. It's when you can clear the head. And then you're like, oh, my God, it is crazy in here. it's a long process. I think, I don't know if you ever had that sort of, you know, you get that pink cloud when you first give up. You feel like you're on top of the world and you've got this. And everything's fixed.
Yeah.
Amazing. And then like a couple of months down and it just goes,
and
you crash down, back down to earth. And it looks really boring and you're resentful and depressed. And, yeah, that's when you got to start doing the work. Doing the work.
I know, it's so cliched, isn't it? But it's true.
And How cool is it? Like, especially as you say, if you're somebody who likes to go deep now, navel gaze, yeah. It's actually a fascinating process.
It's so fascinating. And I always say, if you can bring an edge of curiosity, it's like, okay, oh God, I never knew that, right? And bring that kind of curious energy, all right, this is actually really challenging and interesting. That will help fuel you through some of these tricky times. There's and a great analogy.
Sorry, here you go.
Oh, have you read the book called Blackout by Sarah Heppala?
I haven't, but I'll write that down.
She's awesome. She's got this great analogy of like, boozing is like you're at a rock concert, but you're right stuck at the back and you're in the middle of the crowd and you're getting pushed around. You can't really hear the band. You're busting. You need to go to the loo. You're not having fun. People are knocking into you. There's shit on the floor. You know, you just, that's your experience of life. Being sober, you're in the front fucking row. You're standing in front of the speaker and every beat is pounding in your chest. It's like, rah! That's what it's like, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, bring it on, man. I'm here. I'm in the front row, you know, and it's like, whoa, okay. It's hard, yeah, but it's worth it.
I remember that tunnel, that like literal tunnel vision. My vision would just go, and I'd just be like, only see what's in front of me, pretty much. And then just sort of going towards it, like, some maniac.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you got sober. And you are a gift. I just want to, before we sort of close up, I do want to acknowledge that, you know, you're a person in the public eye. We've got overseas members who might not know, but Hayley is a TV host. She fronts the sports news now and the nightly news, but has been a breakfast TV host, has hosted our been a judge on Dancing with the Stars, and you know, you're in the public eye, right? You've got this profile, and yet you have opened up about the fact that you're sober. You have talked in the media, you've talked on the television. That is really powerful, Hayley, because even 10 years ago when I quit, there was no one hardly in New Zealand that was open about being in recovery. I was looking overseas to weird celebrities like Keith Urban and Rob Lowe, truly, on Channel E, who I knew were sober and they looked okay. And so having people local who are open is wonderful. And I just wondered how that's been for you, because there is still some stigma around and shame, but yet you seem to be able to push past that and open up. But how's that been for you?
I think it was good. I mean, as you say, I was like, you're talking about that sort of blackout feeling and that vibe of being drunk. I don't really know. Like, the change is just, doesn't even compare. So there's no other way. It was either that or this. Or people know that I'm in recovery. And I'm kind of proud of it. I mean, there was that joke in AA that we used to, pretty much every person would always feel embarrassed about going to AA, but not embarrassed to be falling out of clubs in the middle of the night or to be messing up their families or spewing in the gutter or, you know, all of that stuff. How could you be not embarrassed about that, but be embarrassed about helping yourself? So weird. And I think the biggest thing that helped me was hearing all of those terrible stories and hearing how people weren't perfect and they weren't nice all the time. And even when they'd given up, they weren't nice all the time and they had stinking thinking and all of that. That really helps, because you go, oh my God, I'm okay when I feel like that. I'm not a bad person. It's just a part of life. So I feel like the sharing of the bad parts is really important.
Yeah, nice. Oh, well, thank you so much for everything that you do. And, huge congrats on the baby. Gosh, your life's about to change. It's so fun looking after babies, honestly. It's the best excuse to stay at home ever. I used to just love it. Chips and dip in the afternoon. Well, I've got a baby. You know, it's my excuse.
I'm working. I'm growing a human.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, anyway, lovely to chat with you, and thank you for coming on and talking to our members. I think I told you a lot of them are grinding through those early stages. So, you know, eight years of recovery from you, 10 for me. Look at us, guys. We're not miserable. We just don't touch alcohol.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you.
Okay. Cheers.